This week we're going to be discussing Genesis chapter 26, verses 34 and 35, which will lead us into a natural discussion of Genesis chapter 36, verses 1 through 3. We're also going to be getting into Genesis chapter 27. We're going to read verses 1 through 40, or we're going to discuss those. And that won't be the entire chapter for Genesis 27, but we'll get to the rest of it next week, God willing. And today we're going to be talking about Jacob's deception of Isaac. Last week we talked about an instance in which Jacob behaved in a less than moral way, in a slightly underhanded and devious way toward his brother. Today we will examine another one. But first, we're going to take a little detour and talk about Esau's wives. So let's get right to the passage. Reading from the NIV in Genesis chapter 26, starting at verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basmath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And by the way, Basmath is the way I'm saying it. That's about as close as I can get with my Hebrew, so you can take it or leave it, pronounce it however you want. It is an open hand sort of issue. Now, so Esau's wives, according to this passage, Esau married Judith when he was 40 years old. Now the year was about 2148 after creation. And notably, Esau was significantly older than we might expect for a modern marriage, but people were also living significantly longer at this time. We also note that Isaac married at the same age at 40, so why were they marrying so late? Well, Isaac lived to be 180. Jacob, Esau's brother, will live to be 147. So this puts the average age at death in this family at over 160 years. So at 40, Esau's life is probably less than 25% over. If we were to presume that Esau and Isaac and Jacob matured at a slower rate to match a longer lifespan, and that the average age of death for a modern American is 75 years, then Esau would have married at the physical equivalent of a modern 18-year-old. So, Esau may not have actually been so old as he seems. In any case, his marriage in this passage to Judith and to Basmath present a potential inconsistency. This passage says that his wife Basmath was the daughter of Elon the Hittite, whereas Genesis 36, verse 3, says that she is the daughter of Ishmael and sister of Nebaioth. Now, this seeming contradiction can be solved in a couple of ways. First off, Esau could very easily have married two women, both named Basmath, both of them coming from different families. Perhaps Basmath was a common name, strange as it may sound to us. Now, this seems like an unlikely solution to me because there's no particular reason to believe that the name is common. We don't see it scattered throughout the rest of the Bible. We also don't expect someone to marry two wives with the same name. It seems like a person would have a natural tendency to avoid having done that. So a more likely solution is that Basmath is both a daughter of Ishmael and a daughter of Elon the Hittite. Now, how is that possible? When we're talking about descendants in the Bible, both daughters and sons, the Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean an immediate descendant, but could also mean a granddaughter or grandson. So in English, we would say, my son, my grandson, we have a distinction there. In Hebrew, not necessarily. You could easily call someone your son who is many generations removed. So then, if Ishmael at some point married a daughter of Elon the Hittite, then Ishmael's direct daughter would also be a daughter of Elon indirectly. So seeing that Ishmael had been sent away from his father's house, it is not unreasonable to conclude that he married a Hittite woman, and that one of the offspring of this marriage is the woman whom Esau married. Now, incidentally, if we look at Genesis chapter 36, we see that Esau also had a wife named Ada, who was a daughter of Elon the Hittite. Now, perhaps Basmath, daughter of Elon, used Ada as an alternate name to avoid confusion with the other daughter of Ishmael. If one did marry two different women who had the same name, you would guess that they would be called by different things at least. Or perhaps Esau just married both Basmath and her sister or aunt, Ada. At least four wives: Basmath, Ada, Aholibamah, and Judith. Of course, Aholibamah we see in Genesis chapter 36. These wives were, for whatever reason, trouble to Isaac and Rebekah. Likely, it is because they were Canaanite women. Rebekah, in chapter 27, will express some disdain for women of the land. So, that tells us what we need to know about Esau's wives, and it will be useful information for us going farther in the text. It will give us a little bit of context. So then, let's talk about Isaac's deception. I'm not going to read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 27. I'll let you read that on your own, so if you want to pause and do that, go ahead and do it now. But I am going to tell you the overview of the story of Isaac's blessing. Now, Isaac is old, and he can't see, and he realizes that he is going to die soon. And so he decides to give his favored elder son Esau his blessing. Isaac sends Esau to catch some of his favorite wild game and make a stew for him. While Esau is gone, Rebekah and Jacob conspire to deceive Isaac so that Isaac will give the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. Now, Isaac may be blind, but he's not stupid, and he does have four other senses that he can use to determine who is talking to him. So Jacob is worried about this, but Rebekah tells him not to be concerned. She knows how to do the trick. First, they trick his sense of feeling by giving Jacob goat's hair, which he puts on his arms to simulate Esau's hairy skin. They deceive Isaac's sense of taste by giving him some favorite soup, which is flavored to taste like the wild game, which Esau is going to catch. They deceive his sense of smell by giving Jacob Esau's clothes to wear, which smell like the musk of the field. And they can't do anything to deceive his sense of sound, but they send Jacob in anyway. Now, Isaac is not immediately deceived. He's very suspicious by the sound of Jacob's voice, but when he feels the goat hair, when he tastes the soup, and when he smells Esau's clothes, he falls into the trap and he blesses Isaac instead of Jacob. Esau arrives soon thereafter, once Jacob has left, and finds that there is no blessing left for him. So that's the story. Now, what is this blessing that they are fighting for? First off, this is something that we see throughout the Old Testament, or especially in the book of Genesis, but we'll see such blessings pop up again. And when a father would give a blessing to his son, he was giving him three things that I want to discuss and that we'll see in this passage. First off, he's giving him personal encouragement. The father is telling the son what he wants from him, how he wants him to live, who he thinks his son is, what he sees in his son, so that his son can have strength to move forward after the loss of the father. Beyond that, he is conveying an inheritance, and this is the second thing. He is conveying an inheritance. The father, before he dies, is going to will over everything that he owns to his sons. And so in giving his blessing, this is the formal arrangement to hand over the property to the son. This is sort of like signing the will, signing the contract that will convey the property on the death of the father. And then the third thing that happens in these biblical blessings is a prophetic utterance. Some of these characters in the Bible are blessed with a prophetic gift, and they not only say what they would like from their son and encourage their son to do certain things, but they say what will happen to their son in the future. So those are the three things that we're going to see in the blessing given by Isaac. Now, a question. Should modern people give blessings as people in the Old Testament did? Well, it's a yes and a no. Concerning the no, or at least the probably not, unless you have a prophetic gift and a word from God to give, then attempting to tell your son what will happen to him in the distant future is a bad idea. So I do not recommend falsely prophesying over your children. Again, as we look at the blessing of Isaac on Jacob and Esau, we understand that he unwittingly does the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is at work in him, and he delivers a prophecy for the future, even though he doesn't like the outcome of it. Now, concerning the other two points, personal encouragement and the conveyance of an inheritance, those are definitely a yes. It is obviously good for a father to give his son an inheritance, and of course we still do this, even though the conveyance is often done after death through a will rather than in person before the death. And of course it is always good for a father to give words of personal encouragement to his son. So I do recommend that fathers give a blessing to their son, much as it was done in the Bible, but not necessarily with the prophetic utterance part. So then let's talk about Jacob's blessing. Obviously, Jacob receives a better blessing than Esau, and while he has to gain the blessing by subterfuge, it is at least somewhat fair, because Esau did sell him the inheritance, even if he did so under much duress. So the blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob is essentially a blessing of everything you could ask for. He blesses him first with material prosperity, and second, with great power. Concerning the material prosperity, Isaac blesses Jacob with heaven's dew, earth's riches, and an abundance of grain and wine. Essentially, this is health and wealth, and not only health and wealth, but all of the health and wealth, because this is the wealth of heaven and the wealth of earth. There is no other store of wealth which Jacob might have received that Isaac did not give to him. And in addition to this, he grants him power, and not just some power, but all of the power. He gives him power over the nations. This is power over people far away, and also power in the most intimate place, the most close to him, his own siblings. So Jacob, in effect, is granted power over the whole world by his father, and all the wealth of the world that he could possibly attain. There's really not anything left. In addition to this, Isaac says that those who bless Jacob are blessed, and those who curse Jacob are cursed. This, of course, echoes God's covenant with Abraham. But not only that, it makes it so that Jacob's blessing is irrevocable. Isaac can't come back later and curse Jacob and take the blessing away, because in doing so, he would be cursing himself. Jacob has bound himself by his word and has no way to back out of it. So, of course, then Esau arrives, and when Esau arrives, everything, all material wealth and prosperity and power over all the world has been granted to Jacob, and there's no taking it back. So Esau, when he seeks his blessing, is given the exact opposite. He's told that he will be far away from the richness of the earth and from the dew of heaven, and that he will live in subservience to his brother. Esau is being given powerlessness and poverty instead of the prosperity and power given to Jacob. But there is one thing that Isaac didn't give to Jacob, and Isaac does give this thing to Esau, and that thing is time. You see, Jacob's blessing lacks any timing. It's a blessing for Jacob himself, but it's not a blessing for his descendants forever thereafter. Surely we expect that the blessing will go down to the descendants in some way, but not to all of them, and not for perpetuity. It's not an eternal blessing. So the only thing left that can be given to Esau is the faint hope that his descendants will eventually throw off their subservience to Jacob. And that, of course, is something that Isaac does give to Esau, the hope that one day his sons will throw him off. Ultimately, this prophetic utterance is fulfilled in the days of Israel's kings. Edom is enslaved to Israel under King David. But many years later, Edom finally rebels against Jehoram and gains independence. You can read that in 2 Kings chapter 8 or 2 Chronicles 21. So then, in conclusion, for a second time, Jacob has lived up to his born reputation as a deceiver. And he receives a blessing from his father who grants him all of his wealth and power. Esau will not be happy about it. And that we will get to next week.
For those of you who might be listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.